Let's just get real for a second. If you're a B2B executive, your email inbox probably feels less like a communication tool and more like, I don't know, a battlefield. Am I wrong?
Probably not. It's a constant barrage, isn't it?
Totally. So the big question we're tackling today is this. It's 2025, things move fast. Why should someone like you, super busy, even care about email marketing anymore?
That really is the core question, yeah. It's tempting to think, oh, email, that's old news. But there's this recent article from Reach Marketing. It's called Email Marketing 101 for B2B Executives: Strategies That Win in 2025.
Right.
And it argues pretty strongly that a smart email strategy, you know, the right message, right person, right time, it's still a massive driver for ROI. They actually mention a figure, something like $42 back for every $1 spent.
Wow, $42. Okay, so our mission here basically is to give you the highlights, the actionable stuff from that article. It just came out April 7th, 2025, written by the Reach Marketing team, and it's aimed squarely at B2B leaders. It talks about, well, strategies that are actually working now. Things like building good lists, nurturing leads, you know, differentiating between MQLs and SQL.
Marketing qualified leads versus sales qualified leads. Yeah, important distinction.
Exactly. And automation, deliverability, making sure emails actually arrive, campaign management, using data, the whole shebang. And Reach Marketing says they've got decades of experience in this space.
Right. They claim quite a bit of history helping B2B brands with this. So, yeah, their perspective is definitely worth digging into.
So think of this as the fast track. We're pulling out the key strategies, the stuff you can actually use without you having to wade through everything, maybe even spark a couple of those, you know, aha moments.
Hopefully, that's the goal.
Okay, first hurdle. A lot of people probably think, email? Really? Isn't that kind of outdated? With all the
Well,
social platforms and everything else, why does this article insist email is still so critical for B2B in 2025?
it's interesting. The article basically argues that while, yeah, other channels exist, email is still sort of the bedrock for the really crucial stuff in B2B.
Like what specifically?
Like landing those important meetings, moving deals forward, keeping the whole sales pipeline flowing. The point they make is that your target audience, those execs you need to reach, they're still living in their inboxes for business. They're not necessarily scrolling through, say, Instagram or TikTok, waiting for a serious business offer to pop up. The inbox is where that serious communication happens.
That's a fair point. Meet them where they already are. Okay, so the article gets into specific strategies. First up is precision targeting. We call it segmentation, but they say it's like evolved beyond just basic lists.
Yeah, exactly. They use this analogy I quite like, comparing it to a Michelin star chef carving a prime roast. It's not just hacking away, it's precise. It's about getting much more granular than just broad categories. So they give examples like segmenting by industry, maybe tech versus manufacturing, or by someone's specific role. A CFO needs different info than a procurement
All
manager
right,
might.
different priorities.
Or even segmenting by their likely pain points. Are they focused on growth? Or maybe cost cutting? You tailor the message accordingly.
So the idea is you send, say, ROI numbers to the COO, but maybe reliability stats to the supply chain person.
Precisely. Speak their language. And they shared a real example from Reach Marketing's work. A SaaS company segmented its list. They had trial users and enterprise leads. The trial folks got tips on using the software better. The enterprise leads, they got case studies, you know, big company logos, success stories.
And did it work?
Apparently, yeah, they saw a really significant increase in conversions in just 3 months. It just shows, you know, sending targeted stuff works way better than blasting everyone with the same message.
Makes total sense. Okay, strategy two, crafting compelling subject lines. This feels huge. The article calls it the bouncer of the inbox.
Yeah, good term for it. If the subject line doesn't grab them, the email's dead on arrival.
So what makes a good subject line in 2025, according to them? Not just newsletter hashtag 47, I hope.
Definitely not. They contrast weak ones like that with stronger, benefit-focused examples. Stuff like, your 2025 B2B growth hack is here. Or maybe something intriguing like why your competitors are reading this right now.
Okay, playing on FOMO a bit there.
A little, yeah. But the keys they stress are keep it short under 50 characters, because people scan on phones and tease the value inside. Don't just give it all away, but hint at what they'll gain.
And personalization, does that still move the needle?
Oh, yeah. They quote MailChimp data saying personalized subject lines can lift open rates by like 26%. So using their name, maybe the company name, it helps cut through the noise.
Good stat.
And a warning, avoid the temptation of all sappy s and tons of exclamation points, you know.
Right, looks spammy.
Exactly. Looks desperate, maybe. They shared an A-B test example, too. They tested, save 20% this week against your 20% edge starts now.
Subtle difference.
Yeah, but the second one, your 20% edge, performed 15% better.
Yeah.
A bit more finesse, less blunt sales pitch. It worked better for that executive audience.
Interesting. Okay, strategy number three, the significance of timing. I feel like a lot of us just send emails whenever. Does it really matter when?
Well, according to the article, yeah, it really does. Just firing off emails randomly is kind of a fast track to the delete folder or just getting lost in the flood.
So is there a magic time?
They mentioned data from GetResponse suggesting Tuesday and Thursday mornings, maybe like 9 to 11 a.m., tend to be peak times for B2B execs.
Okay, why then?
The thinking is they've settled in, had their coffee maybe, but haven't gotten totally swamped with meetings yet. It's a potential window.
I sense a butt coming.
Yeah, but the crucial thing they emphasize is that's not a universal law. You absolutely have to test what works for your audience.
Yay.
They give an anecdote about a client whose manufacturing execs actually responded best on Wednesday afternoons. Totally different.
Huh.
So the takeaway isn't always send Tuesday at 10. It's figure out when your specific people are likely to be, as they put it, awake, alert, and not drowning in boardroom slides. Find their sweet spot.
Got it. Test, test, test. All right. Strategy four, strategic automation. Automation. Sometimes sounds a bit cold, robotic, but they frame it differently.
Yeah, they position it not as replacing humans, but as a way to scale your efforts smartly. So you're not overwhelmed, but you're still being effective.
How does that work in practice?
Well, the classic example is someone downloads a white paper, right?
Yeah.
Instead of you manually following up, they're automatically put into a pre-written sequence of, say, 3 or 4 emails, a nurture campaign.
Okay.
That sequence can guide them along, offering more value, maybe suggesting a demo eventually, all without you doing it one by one. Other good spots for automation they mention are like welcome emails for new signups or trying to re-engage people who've gone quiet.
Re-engagement. That's a good one.
Yeah. Or even abandoned cart reminders, though maybe less common in pure B2B. But the principle applies if there's some kind of online sign up or purchase.
They had an example, didn't they? A logistics firm.
Right. They used a 5 email automated sequence after a webinar. And apparently it was really good at converting people who signed up but didn't attend the live event into actual consultations later.
So automation caught the ones who slipped through the cracks.
Exactly. But the key point they make is that automation should enhance your communication, free you up for the high-touch stuff, not completely replace genuine interaction. It's a tool, not a substitute for building relationships.
Makes sense. Okay, number 5, emphasizing proof over fluff. I guess this is about getting straight to the point with execs. They don't have time for marketing waffle.
You got it. They're busy. They're skeptical. Vague promises don't cut it. The article really hammers home the need for concrete evidence.
Like what kind of proof? Numbers.
Absolutely. Lead with stats if you have them. Like, our last campaign boosted qualified leads 37% in Q1. Or quick wins. Acme Corps signed with us just 2 weeks after starting. Stuff like that grabs attention.
And keep it brief, too.
Definitely. They suggest aiming for under 200 words. Respect their time. Get to the value proposition fast.
What about case studies? Are those still effective?
Very much so, even if it's not a household name. They use the example. Client X, a mid-sized tech firm, used our email strategy to land a $500K deal. That specific outcome, that number, is powerful.
Right. The concrete result matters more than the name sometimes.
Exactly. Numbers and real results beat buzzwords and vague claims every time for this audience.
Okay, strategy 6 feels like a given now, but maybe it wasn't always. Optimizing for mobile. We're all glued to our phones, right?
Totally. And the article stresses this isn't just a nice to have anymore, especially in 2025. It's absolutely critical. A huge number of executives are checking email primarily on their phones.
So if your email looks terrible on mobile,
you're done. You've lost them. They compare it to packing for a business trick. You need the essentials. Well-organized, easy to access, not your entire wardrobe crammed in.
Good analogy. So what are the mobile essentials for email design?
Things like short paragraphs, punchy bullet points, buttons your calls to action need to be big enough and spaced out enough to tap easily with the thumb.
Yeah, nothing worse than trying to hit a tiny link.
Right. And readable fonts, they suggest at least 14 pixels and images. Either make sure they load super fast or maybe just skip them if they're not essential, especially for initial emails. Slow loading kills the experience.
Did they have an example for this one too?
Yep. A client who had an old desktop-only template. Reach Marketing helped them rebuild it mobile first, The result? Click-through rates apparently doubled, and they started getting way more replies directly from C-level execs.
Wow, just from fixing the mobile view.
It makes a huge difference in whether people actually engage or just hit delete.
Okay, now, for the 2025 twist, as the article calls it, AI, artificial intelligence. It's everywhere. How's it changing B2B email marketing specifically?
It's becoming a really interesting layer on top of everything else. Think of it as an intelligent assistant for your email efforts.
In what ways?
Well, the article mentions AI tools that can now do things like predict open rates for different subject lines, help draft email copy suggestions, even analyze the tone of your message to see if it sounds right.
So AI can help write email.
It can assist, yeah. They mention platforms like Persado or Phrasy that focus on generating high-performing language. And other tools use predictive analytics to figure out who in your list is most likely to click or convert. It's like adding data science power.
But is there a risk it makes everything sound fake, robotic?
That's the big caution. The article definitely warns against just letting AI write everything without oversight. Experienced execs can often sniff out content that feels too generic, too polished, lacking that human element.
Right, that authenticity factor.
Exactly. So the winning approach, they argue, is a blend. Use AI for its precision, for data insights, maybe for initial drafts, but then have a human refine it. Add personality, maybe some wit or specific insight AI wouldn't have.
Can you give an example?
Yeah, they had a good one. AI might suggest a subject line like, increase ROI with email. Very functional, but dry.
Yeah, kind of boring.
Right?
Yeah.
A human marketer can take that idea and inject some personality, maybe make it, your ROI called it once email back. Same core message, but way more engaging, memorable. It's that combo of AI efficiency and human creativity.
Okay, that makes sense. Using AI as a tool, not a total replacement. So let's wrap this up. If you're that busy B2B exec listening, what's the main thing to take away about email in 2025 from this article?
I think the core message is stop thinking about email as just blasting messages out. In 2025, success comes from being really strategic and targeted.
So it's about the precision.
It's precision targeting, compelling copy, smart timing, using automation wisely, backing things up with proof, making sure it works on mobile, and now layering in AI thoughtfully. When you do all that, email is still incredibly powerful for driving real business results, that ROI we talked about.
And for folks who want more practical steps, the article apparently offers a 2025 B2B email checklist.
Yeah, they mentioned that as a resource. Yeah. And also the option to talk directly with Reach Marketing if you want tailored help, framing it as a way to kind of skip the trial and error.
Gotcha. And what was that final thought they left readers with? Something a bit provocative.
Right. It was something like, in 2025, the only thing worse than a bad email is no email at all.
That's definitely something to think about, isn't it? It really pushes you to reconsider if maybe ignoring email is actually hurting your B2B strategy more than sending the occasional less than perfect one.
Exactly. It highlights the cost of inaction in a channel that's still very much alive and kicking for business.